grace, God's mercy, peace, and blessing be to you, the people of God. There's one thing I forgot in the announcement period that I mentioned at the early service. Would you turn for just a moment to the next to the last page, page 15? Today, and this gets into the sermon, but a little bit of background. Today is the third Sunday after the day of Pentecost, and the Catholic tradition is called Ordinary Time, which implies that there is also what? An extraordinary time, right? Extraordinary time, ordinary time. In this part of the church, I'll get to this page in just a moment. In this part of the church year in which we now find ourselves, this is called, in the Pentecost season, this is the time when we focus on the meaning of the Christian life. It is our time to think about our response to what God has done in Christ. In the first half of the church year, it starts in Advent, beginning in December generally, and goes through the end of generally May, which is the end of the Easter season. We focus on what God does in the world through Jesus Christ and the story of salvation. Now it is our time for response. However, okay, that's what the season is. The lessons today are from the third Sunday in the season of Pentecost. Call it ordinary time. Ordinary in the sense that the extraordinary thing is what God has done. Ordinary, and this is not a put-down, ordinary is our response to what God does. But the ordinary, when you live in the gospel, becomes what? Extraordinary, because of God's power and the Holy Spirit. Now, today also happens to be June 25, the day of the Augsburg Confession. Please, I don't want to spend too much time. I'll touch on it very briefly toward the end of the sermon. On this date in history, there are alternate readings which we're not using today to celebrate the Augsburg Confession. What is that? I would like you to, at sometime later, please read this page. It's a wonderful thing that Pastor Nickel, I assume he did that, put together to talk about our history as Lutheran Christians and what the princes and theologians and pastors of Germany did to declare their faith and to say, yes, we are part of the church. We're not heretics leaving the church. The church, in a sense, left us, so to speak, although it's coming more together, you know. Even Catholic Christians today celebrate Martin Luther. Many of you may know that. So read this, because it talks about how, on this day, the Augsburg Confession, which is part of our sacred writings, not on the level of Scripture, but yet very important, the confession was presented to the emperor back in the day, and we declared our faith as part of the church. So, just as background. The focus of the Pentecost season, let me set up the sermon theme for just a moment. The focus of the Pentecost season is life in Christ, what it's like. How do we live because of what Jesus has done for us? What kind of work do we do? What's our purpose? The texts at this time of the year, especially this month of June, and the gospel, focus us in that direction. What do we see? We hear Jesus talk about the sending of the disciples. They are sent out. And the texts today tell us some very important things about that sending. Now, the title of the sermon today is Just What Happened. Or let me put it the other way. I'm listening to a phone for a minute. Forgive me. No problem. I have yet in all my years, it hasn't been that long, my cell phone, I've always turned it down before a church service. So I'm one of the, never have I preached and had it go off, so... Tell me about that. Okay. What does that mean? Here's the title. I transposed a couple of words. The title is, What Just Happened? Okay, think about that. It's not in the bulletin. What just happened? So the context is the sending of the disciples out. God's people out into the world. We've been given the good news, and now God sends us out. And our response, to some degree at least, might be, whoa. What just happened? Have you ever said that phrase to yourself? Where you You enter some kind of situation, you're anticipating it, and then all of a sudden, oh my goodness, and usually it's a negative thing, right? It could be positive, but let's say 75% it's negative. And you say, oh my goodness, what just happened? I don't want to get too personal, but when you get married, you live with someone, please, it's not about my wife Joan. Well, no, she's not here to... It's not about Pastor and Rachel Nichol, neither of them is here. That's why we can speak frankly, maybe. It's about each of, and it's not just in marriage, you know that. It's about one human being in relationship to another. You anticipate, expect certain things. It could be even be a negative thing, but all of a sudden it falls away and you have a relationship that's calm. When it's calm, the anxiety can end up going high. When anxiety is high, it doesn't always happen. You hope for it can go down. Then you might say, what just happened? This is the meaning of the text today. In particular, two that I want to focus on, the Old Testament lesson and the gospel. When we are sent out to follow Christ, the unexpected happens. And we could be done in by that. You've already heard it in the texts today. It's all there. Let me go back into the Old Testament for just a moment, try to move along so I don't hold us too long here. If you recall, if you happen to hear the text in the Old Testament last week, last Sunday, you will know that, let me remind you, Israel, the children of Israel, have been freed from slavery in Egypt. You know, they were now a large group of people, almost really a nation. And they are brought by God's power under the leadership of Moses to their first major church service, which would have been where? At Mount Sinai in the desert, kind of a rough place to have a worship experience, but there they were. And God speaks to them through Moses, and Moses relays it to the people from Mount Sinai. You have the Ten Commandments are given and so forth. So this is what the text last Sunday said. God says to the people, therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession among all people. Whoa, pretty good, right? For all the earth is mine, and you shall be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. So what do the people do in response to that word from God through Moses? To the people, they respond, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. In effect, they said, let's go from here. Let's get on with the journey. And they are then sent out. It took another generation of, they spent 40 years, they didn't know this. Again, what just happened? They spent 40 years then after that wandering, maybe getting prepared. Yes, it was a preparation time in the desert before the next generation finally made it to the promised land. Fast forward now to the Old Testament lesson for today. You hear the words of the prophet Jeremiah. This is in the context of God sending his people from Mount Sinai to the promised land to be a special people, a holy nation. And I know the context is different. Things had happened in the intervening centuries. The people had fallen away. You get the picture. You've heard about that. Then they come back and then they fall away again. And God sends his prophets. And now this is what the prophet Jeremiah says. And put this in the context of what God said to Israel at Mount Sinai. O Lord, you have deceived me. And I imagine that on his feeling level, he was pretty intense. O Lord, you have deceived me. And I was deceived. I had become a laughing stock all the day. And he's speaking for Israel, not just for himself. Everyone mocks me. And yes, he was trying to bring Israel back to God, and the people themselves laughed at him and said, we don't want to hear that message. We don't want to hear the hard stuff. We want it easy. This is what happens throughout the entire Old Testament. So Jeremiah, who had hoped, I assume, that the people would have heard the word of the Lord again and again, finds out that they turn a deaf ear. So he might have said, whoa, what just happened? And he takes his complaint to God. Let me stop the text right there. Fast forward now to Jesus. with his disciples. It's a new beginning. Now the word is deepened. It's incarnated in the flesh. That's what incarnation means. In the flesh, in Jesus. He is God's presence in the world in a new and unique way. We call him what? The Son of God. God himself. And last Sunday in the New Testament, Matthew 9 and 10, everything's in Matthew 9 and 10 right now, he sends his disciples out. And he says wonderful things to them. He gives them power. He says he called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority over unclean spirits. And remember from last Sunday, he names each one of them. It's like an ordination, if you will. Remember, ordination is not just for pastors. It's for all of us to be sent out. Because the people were out there needing to hear something new because they were like new, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus sends them out and says, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. And just like the children of Israel, I think, at Mount Sinai, who could resist that call, right? I mean, don't you want to be part of a winning team? Don't we? We hope so. You become a follower of Jesus, and the future is open to life and joy and beauty. That's what he seemed to be saying. However, it didn't take generations to figure out that there was a flip side to the situation, or the covenant, if you will, the promise. Jesus goes on, thank you, at least he told them up front. And by the way, some of them probably then fell away, not the 12, but others who were followers of Jesus. He goes on to say, after our text from last Sunday, and here's the just what happened theme. Brother will deliver brother over to death. Father, families will be split, and you will be hated by all. Now, this is not just the general life happens kind of thing. You know, bad stuff happens in life. You know? This is something unique to followers, he seems to be saying. That's strange in a way. Because when you follow Jesus, life is good, right? He says, you will be hated by all for my name's sake. What? What just happened? You mean if you follow Jesus, it could be said, follow me for just a moment. I mean, there's always another side to it. Again, I understand that. Follow me for a moment. When you follow Jesus, your life might get worse. Try that as a come on for people to join. Seriously. Please join us. Things are going to get rough. But we know that, don't we? We come into the church and we do find support and love and fellowship, but we also come into the church like into any family and find disruption, difficulty, problems, relationship difficulties, struggle. Churches not only grow, churches also close. There are places in this world where the word of God seems to go out from our perspective. Think about that. Where is God in this? So the gospel message today seems to be saying, when you are sent out in mission with a focus for your life and a purpose, it won't always look good for us. In fact, it may be very painful. What starts with, I'm setting up kind of the thing. What starts with excitement can end up with pain. But people who know life understand that, right? It's funny how it is. When we are sent into mission, we are hit with adversity. And then we may ask the question, what just happened? This strikes at the myth about the Christian faith that its primary purpose is to relieve pain. Well, but that's what I want. Do you want pain? Do I want it? Do I enjoy that? What planet or world, what universe am I a part of? Of course not. I want the pursuit of happiness, of joy, of relief. But there is such a thing as a superficial focus on that as the primary goal of your life. And the Old Testament story of Israel, starting at Mount Sinai, actually starting in slavery in Egypt, and then going to Mount Sinai, onto the promised land, and living life out in the world, the ups and downs and the problems and the difficulties, and the story of the church starting with Christ's death and resurrection, and the disciples then on to the present, seems to be that simply focusing on having a good time and having and feeling good about life and having no pain is not the focus of our purpose, is not what it's about. These are good things. You go to the hospital and you have that thing on the wall that says pain 1 to 10, right? Right? Starts out with kind of a 1 is like a happy face. It's like, it's on my phone. Now up to number 10 is awful. And that's real. And I'm not saying that Christ, that God wants us to experience that. But it's almost like our faith is truly called to be grounded in what life is really like. It's not an abandonment of the world. It's actually an entering into it. When those Lutheran leaders, some of them were political leaders, that's good, right? Some of them were theologians, others were garden variety, if I may say that, pastors and lay people, gathered together in Augsburg, Germany, with fear maybe in their hearts, but a certain clarity in their thinking based on the Word of God, and said, this is what we believe, standing in front of the power that was the emperor, so-called Holy Roman Empire back then. They knew that they believed and trusted in God. It wasn't based on their own strength. It's what they saw in the Word. By grace you are saved through faith. And they stood on that, quaking in their boots, I think. That wasn't too easy either, was it? But they knew and believed, and that's why we celebrate it today, and that's why this is the 500th anniversary of the Reformation this year, right? When Jesus posted those theses on the door of the castle church in 1517. We know that those people lived life and faith because they believed the Word. And they knew that Jesus sent them out into a real world. And the problems are even in the church, and we know that. So they knew that what God does for us when He transforms us by grace and takes us from a world of sin into a life of sainthood, they knew, and we are called to know, that we enter, we don't run away from the pain of sin of the world, and that infects us too, of course, but we enter it and go through it to a new place in Christ. What is it about baptism? Remember baptism? Of course. What is the metaphor, the image that St. Paul in Romans uses to describe baptism, which is the entrance into the Christian faith, right? We are fed by the body and blood of Christ. We enter it through baptism, the church. It is a dying, a going down, right? A dying and with Christ and arising to new life. That didn't just happen once. It's happening right now, constantly in our lives. An entering of the darkness, and in some perverse way, I believe, finding light there. Not superficial, oh, everything's going to be fine someday, but finding that Christ is in that and leading us up to the other side. So I think these texts, in a way, if you go to the end of them, you hear both Jeremiah saying, whoa, I'm going to stick with God because God sticks with me. It's never the reverse, you know? It always starts with God. And Jesus saying to the disciples, fear not, for I am with you. If that's true, when we say, what just happened? God responds and says, I'm with you. Get a backbone. Stand up. Go forward. Well, what did really just happen when you think about it? It's what God has done by grace. You are free. We are free to live this life in the midst of, yes, our pain too, with all the stuff that happens, and in the midst of the pain of the world, and trust that God gives us the strength to lead us through. Is it easy? No. Is it meaningful and grounded? Yes. So what does Jesus say? Well, let's go to that the end of the text. I said it before, a minute ago. I'll repeat it. Fear not. Fear not. And Jeremiah says, the end of that text, sing to the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.